So supreme blessings or beatitudes is a term that we use because that's what this says. Now, if you notice, once you get your paper, you'll see up top the definition, full definition of blessed or supreme blessings is spiritually well-being and prosperity, or the deep joy of the soul. It simply means happy. Now, I got to get y'all to understand this. We have learned to go off of how we feel to tell what we are. Y'all catch that? We've learned to go off of how we feel to tell what we are. So if I ask you, are you happy? If you feel that way, you'll say yes. That's why right now depression, people are so deep in depression and stuff like that. Why? Because we're allowing our feelings to tell me what I am. And this is why it's so hard to follow from God. Not realizing God's getting ready to tell you those who are happy. And when we read it, we're going to go, no, I'm not happy. He said, wait, I didn't ask you. I'm telling you what you are. Does that make sense? You're happy if, okay? And it makes us see, wait a minute, then I don't know what happiness is. Like I said, using those who use substances and things of this world to make them comfortable and happy because our flesh is so warped, we don't know what happiness is. So we go after stuff to make us happy. And that's not happiness. Does that make sense? Everybody with me? You on it? Okay. So it's not you feeling happy that is happiness. It's when God says you're happy. So you're aiming for when God says, not for what you think. Everybody with me? So where we see the Sermon on the Mount starts in Matthew 5, on top of your page, 1 through 16. It says, now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, now, he's going to break stuff down. Because even though we see throughout the Bible where people are blessed, this is the supremeness of the blessings. To let you know, this is where we should all be. So don't just say, hey, I'm that group, but not this group. I'm that group, but I'm not this group. We should be this entire package, if that makes sense. So first of all, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then he tells why. Okay? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he goes, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. First of all, we see this poor in spirit. Doesn't sound like a great thing. Mourn. Why am I happy when I mourn? Doesn't make sense, we would think. But he says, but they will be comforted. It says, blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And let me show you this here. Because usually hunger and thirst are something that happens to us, right? When my body says I'm hungry or my body says I'm thirsty, this is a command. The person who makes themselves hunger and thirst. We'll talk about that. Why? They will be filled. Okay? It says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Very important today. Because today, we don't show that we recognize what Christ has done. Blessed are those, the pure in heart, for they will see God. Okay? And like I said, if you just pick certain groups to be in, and you miss this one, you miss the whole thing. Okay? You got to be pure in your purpose. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So now we see this whole package. And then he even breaks it down on certain ways concerning us. Like in verse 11, he says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things evil against you because of me. That because of me is so important. Because what some political entities and some other groups have done today is they'll do something, and then they'll do it in their own name, and then they'll go, oh, see, we're being persecuted. Be careful of that. Okay? They can try to fool you or even use that as an excuse, but if it's not for Christ, it's not persecution. And they're missing out, and they're being misled, and they're misleading others. It's when I'm clearly doing what the Bible says, and I get in trouble for it. That's persecution. And it won't always be in trouble. It won't always be somebody trying to stone you or throw you in jail. It could come from you missed out on something. They're not going to be friends with you. They're going to be friends with some other friends. They're going to treat you different. Why? Because you're doing what Christ says and not what you won't get that promotion because. See, all this is persecution. And because you did what the Bible said and not what the world does, that's persecution. So understand, it comes in different forms. It says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. So I'm not living for that promotion. I'm living for my great reward because the promotion is still only going to last a season. Y'all get this? It says, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So he's saying the same thing. They went through it too. And he's saying there's a reason God allows that. So then he gives us our responsibility. And we all have a major responsibility. So you are something, so be this something. Y'all catch that? Catch that? You hear me say over and over again, you are spiritual when you become a Christian, so be spiritual. And the whole sermon is saying that we're doing, that we're currently doing right now on things that we can sound teaching, and it's because we keep allowing us to be something else. It's like when your child grows up and you're just like, be an adult now. You're an adult. Be an adult. Stop acting like a child. You have the ability, but you still have to do it. And that's what he says here. He says, you are. Everybody say are. Now, do you notice he says, he didn't say should be. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But watch what he says. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. What he's saying is, the flavor that we're supposed to add to the world, and the preserve that we're supposed to add to the world, the two things we're supposed to be doing in this earth, that we have to do that. The reason that prolongs it and allows people to be saved, that's how we're supposed to be living. All right? There's that flavor that we add to it for God to minister and for we are the ones that kind of show him to everybody else. And we're going to see that when we get to the light part of it. But there's a responsibility on being salt. We're the one that prolong this, or not even prolong it, allows the time to go for people to get saved. All right? So saltiness is just basically being a Christian. But if I lose my saltiness, so if I say I'm a Christian, but I'm living out everything else, once again, attitude, frustrations. I go down the list of things that the Bible says I'm not supposed to be, but I tend to be it. I'm not salt, if that makes sense. Yes. Wait a minute, it was turned down. Hold on. I think that's number 3. There you go. All right.
When you say that we are the ones that that's prolonging or preserving, mm-hmm. What do you mean that we are?
So if you go back into, I think it's in Luke, and you see in the Gospels, you already said if it wasn't for the elect, then the world would have been, do you get where I'm coming from? So the thing that keeps him from blowing up the world now or getting rid of everything now is us. Do you understand that? We're the ones who are allowing the time to get to the point where it leads to when that final Gentile gets ministered to before he finally brings his time in. Do you get where I'm coming from? But if we were not here, it's like, why am I, then this, it would just be downright evil. Does that make sense? All right. So since we are the one that are preserving it, keeping it so it's allowing it to exist, allowing a chance for people to be saved, be that. Right. So I'll give you a good example. If I'm friends with people in the world just to be friends with them, I'm not being salt. If I'm friends with people in the world to minister to them, did y'all catch that? You know what I mean? God, that whole, this has been my buddy since we've been this long. We hang out and we do all this together. That's great. Meaningless. Not salty. God's going to go, well, so what did that do for me? How did you save their lives? I told you the two women that were, and if you saw their photo album and they're younger and she was a Christian and the other friend was not, and they did everything together and people always talk, when we seen one, we seen the other. And then when it ended, she sat there and said, so I loved her so much that I never even took the time out to minister to her. She would give her passes on things. She would be friends with her because of their friendship, not focused on. And I don't mean every time she comes around, okay, I'm going to preach to you. I'm talking about she was very focused on how she was in order to show her the love of Christ. Do y'all get this? You know what I mean? At times she should have canceled things. Hey, I can't do it because I got to go to church. You know? Oh, I got to do this. When she's showing how she reacted in certain situations. Not, oh, I know how my friend is. She wouldn't take it if you act like that. Have you ever endorsed somebody in their worldliness instead of showing otherwise? I heard a Christian one time, when I mean endorsing, they went to a restaurant and they got something wrong. I remember, and this is a Christian talking about somebody else. They were like, they wouldn't have put up with it. They would have snapped out on you. And they were saying it almost with a pride instead of showing, but that's not how you're supposed to do it, ever. Does that make sense? As a Christian, that's not. So I always have to show my representation of Christ and never endorse the worldliness. That's the saltiness. This is how saltiness works. Y'all get this? But I have to be this in order to hold that in. And then the same thing with light. He says, you are, everybody say you are, the light of the world. So what he's saying is, if we were not here, the world would be in total darkness. So I have to be the light. He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. in the same way, let your light shine before men. Keyword, let. Right? I am supposed to live in a way to direct them towards God. It says that they may see, everybody say see, your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's how our light works. Y'all see this? But I have to let. Once again, if I cover my light, how do I do it? Because I feel angry today, not going to be a Christian. Because I feel happy today, not going to be a Christian. Because I feel complacent or comfortable today, not going to be. Y'all see where I'm going with this? You know what I mean? They got my order wrong. Going back to that food thing again. So I'm going to snap out because I just had a hard day today. Instead of you still show that love and patience because you are the light. And when they see how patient and kind you were to them, they glorify God. Did y'all catch that? But because you were upset because they didn't give you enough fries or something crazy like that and you snapped out on them, you have this attitude and they don't understand. I worked hard and all stuff. You covered that light. Right? And it even goes with our family. So we have to. And that's why he says let. You are the light, but a lot of us have covered up our light. When you accept Christ, you have full access to be, but you have to choose to be. Everybody catch that? Okay, so you see how this whole process works. It's we have to do it. So now we're going to break down each of those things that he was saying that we need to be in order to be blessed. Okay, and so the first one where he was saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Okay. And I love it how he says poor in spirit, because as you're going to see, there's three different types of ways we can be in spirit. Let's read this, the definition first. It comes from the Greek word, which is showing like a beggar or a pauper. And they say a person who's just in complete need. When you look at all those words in there, and it shows us, you know, a person who's totally distressed. And the reason why that's so important for me to be that way in spirit, because you see some people who get confident in spirit as if they have as if they are a super spirit. Not that we're led by the super spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. Some people are what's called convenient in spirit. What do I mean by that? So only see God when you think you need him. A lot of us got saved for God to help us. Now that sounds right. No, in his help means I want him to do it. Like I said, that whole God is my co-pilot nonsense, not realizing, no. I want him to fly. Use me to do whatever I need to do. Tell me exactly what I need to do as you are in full control of this plane. But the convenient in spirit, you'll only see them access God when it's convenient. These are catch that. So that's the first group. Ton of Christians are that. Entitled in spirit, expect a certain type of service from God. Those are the ones that they're living down here, and they already made up their own definition of God, not biblical, and that's what God's supposed to do, and that's what they preach to people. I do this, and God gives me everything I want, and you should be able to do the same thing. Or God's not going to allow this, or I'm mad at God right now. And they'll do stuff in which they're having a relationship with God based on them. Okay? That's entitled. Very dangerous one to be. But poor in spirit, watch this, needs God, period. Needs God, period. And the only way you know that is you'll be searching, gathering, understanding, growing in him. When a poor person doesn't have, and you told them, hey, you got to walk down the street to come get, they're going to be down the street. Am I right? Convenient person would only walk down there when they think they need to eat. Entitled said, why can't you bring it to me? Right? Right? You should be able to bring it. Why should I have to walk down there to get the food that I need? You know what I mean? But we, as Christians, should always be, just tell me where to go, God. I'm going to be there. He sometimes will make life inconvenient to see if you're poor in spirit. Understand that. Okay? But when I allow inconvenience, discomfort, frustration, lack of desire to ever dictate how I am with God, it's showing that I'm not poor in spirit. Poor in spirit will be, I have to have this. I have to have this. This is not on the paper, but we're going to close. I want you to turn to, in your Bibles, my Bible's acting up. 1 second. Yes, that's right, Lisa. Man. Okay, so if you turn to Philippians 3. And I'll read this, and this is when somebody shows what I have to do in order for my spirit to be poor. I have to do something, and it should have been in here, and now that I look at it, I'm going to add it for next time, but this is why I wanted to read it now. He says in verse 7, whatever was to, watch this, my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, or dung is what this really means, that I may gain Christ. It says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, understand what he's saying in here. I have to get rid of those things that meant much to me. Why? Because it meant to me, which is worthless. If it meant so much to me, it should be able to save me. Did y'all catch that? Okay, there's certain things down here that mean a lot to us, and that meaning is only going to last until we die. If then. Did y'all catch that? There's stuff we're putting a lot of emphasis in. It could be in relationships, it could be our jobs, it could be our health, it could be, and when that goes, it's done. The only thing that's eternal is God. So he said, I consider them a loss when it comes to knowing Christ. Does that make sense? There's two people who were engaged, they were going to get married, and so on and so forth. And then the one was saying, you know what, I think we don't have to do all this stuff that people do in the church. I don't want to do it this way. And you start seeing him fall away. And then finally she said, I love you, but I'm not leaving God. She was like, so if this is what you're doing, we can't be. And she was brokenhearted. You know what I'm saying? Totally brokenhearted. But she understood that there is no option here. That we either doing this or goodbye. And he did. They broke up and moved on. And the thing about it is I consider it a loss. She was like, I'll lose that because there ain't no way I'm losing Christ. But think about how we do it today. We still allow stuff to get in the way of Christ. Yeah, I know I should be, but I have this to do. Yeah, I know I should be, but I'm going through this. Yeah, I should be, but then they wouldn't be my friends. Right? Y'all see the danger with all that. We allow all this stuff, so we're not poor in spirit. Right? And that's the problem. Think about that. We'll talk about some more, God willing, next week. Amen? All right. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, we give you